Well, dear saints of God, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you ever imagine what Zacchaeus' funeral could have been like if things didn't go the way they did? Right? Can you imagine that? That when his obituary finally appeared in the newspaper, how people might have reacted? Right? They might have been like, oh, finally, right? You don't really want people to say that when your obituary comes in the newspaper, right? Finally! Oh, he's finally out of our hair. Oh, that guy, he was the chief tax collector. People did not really like tax collectors back then. Well, people don't really like tax collectors right now, right? But back then, they were even worse. They were like the mafia. They would charge you even more and say, hep, tax rates have just gone up. Sorry. And they would do that so that they would pocket a little extra money themselves. People did not like tax collectors. And Zacchaeus was not just any old tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. And he was rich. And he was slimy. Nobody liked Zacchaeus. He was a scumbag. And so when his obituary would have appeared in the newspaper, you can just imagine people would have said, finally, oh, we are all waiting for that one. You can imagine how many people were looking forward to finally seeing his name in the obituary section. And you can imagine that the talk of the town would be how many people did not show up for his funeral. Good riddance, Zacchaeus. But that's not how it went, was it? Why? Because something happened that altered the course of events for Zacchaeus. Who shows up? Jesus. Jesus shows up and changes the course of Zacchaeus' life. Do you ever think about your own funeral? And what might be said about you at your funeral someday? Maybe you kind of think about what you'll be remembered for. Maybe you'll think about who will show up at your funeral. Maybe you'll think about what memories people will share as they eat the funeral luncheon together, right? Do you ever think about what will be said at your funeral? You know, as a pastor, I've done just a ton of funerals. And I've noticed that there's this shift moving away from the word funeral, because that feels and sounds kind of sad, to like a celebration of life. And that's not a bad shift, but what I've noticed is that many people often they want to focus on the life of the person because they want to share the memories and the accomplishments of somebody and all the happy memories, and they kind of want to downplay the sad death part. Nobody really wants to talk about that part. And I have also noticed that there always seems to be an urge to gather evidence of salvation, right? This person did this, and they always prayed that way, and they always did this and this, and so they've got to be up there, right? They've got to be with Jesus, right? Maybe Zacchaeus provides a good case or example for us this morning about what his funeral would have been like. What do you think Zacchaeus was remembered for? What do you think was actually put in his obituary? Can you imagine that? I'll bet it made for quite the testimony at his funeral. Wouldn't you agree? Right? Where Zacchaeus was this terrible, good-for-nothing, miserable, dirty, rotten, no-good sinner. Ugh. Just a Scrooge, if there was ever a Scrooge out there, right? And he was also tiny. He was short. Nobody likes that, right? But then he met Jesus. He met Jesus. He climbed a tree. Jesus called his name. He came down. He brought Jesus to his house. He gave away all that money. What a testimony might have been shared at his funeral. But you know what? I'm not sure that he would be remembered for all the money he gave away. Yeah, it appeared in our Bible reading. And yeah, there's a big deal about it there. The life change that Jesus brought about. But you know what? What's not mentioned is all the beneficiaries who were named, right? If it was an obituary today, it might be, well, so-and-so, they went from rags to riches because of the generosity of this man named Zacchaeus. But the beneficiaries are not named. We don't see the results today of the lives that he changed with all of his generous funds that he gave away after he converted, right? I'm not sure that he would be remembered for all the riches that he gave away. Nor, praise God, is Zacchaeus remembered for all his sins. Yeah, it was mentioned there about how dirty and slimy and tax collector-y Zacchaeus was. But that's not what he's remembered for. No, Saint Zacchaeus of Jericho is remembered because why? Jesus knew his name and came to his house. Zacchaeus, you come down, for I am going to your house today. Anybody remember the Sunday school song? I was thinking about singing it for you, but I didn't want to do that to you. But you can just YouTube it later, all right? And you know what? It might have looked like Zacchaeus was the one who sought out Jesus. Like Zacchaeus was the one who wanted to go find Jesus, and he was the one that went and did the seeking after Jesus. And Zacchaeus' life changed because of what he did. And it might have looked like Zacchaeus was the one who did it all to come to Jesus. But you know what, dear Christian, dear saint? Even though Zacchaeus is the one who climbed a tree to see Jesus, I think it was the other way around. That really, it was Jesus seeking Zacchaeus that day. Because Jesus came to Jericho, I think, to find Zacchaeus. And he called him by name. He said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, it's on my Outlook calendar to come to your house today. I gotta come," right? And he comes to Zacchaeus' house. And by the way, people did not like the idea of that. I mean, how would it look for somebody, how would it look for you to go and dine and be the guest of honor at a mafia's house, right? Somebody who's known to be in the mafia. How would it look like for you? Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. He went to be the guest of honor of the man who was a sinner. That's what the enemies of Jesus said, right? And in that day, in that culture, Jews believed that if you accepted the hospitality of a man whose wealth was ill-gotten, you were partnering with him in his crimes. Right? Because you were benefiting from ill-gotten wealth. You were partaking of it. So they would have viewed Jesus as a sinner like Zacchaeus. Oh, does that sound familiar? That Jesus would take upon himself the similar sins? Take upon himself our sins? By eating in Zacchaeus' house, Jesus was a sinner and an outcast with Zacchaeus, taking on himself Zacchaeus' sins. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, stuck up, outcast, and the least likely to be included in the kingdom. And what does Jesus say about him? today, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. It might have looked like Zacchaeus was the one who found Jesus, but it was Jesus who found Zacchaeus. And Saint Zacchaeus of Jericho got to play host to Jesus in his life. And Saint Zacchaeus of Jericho believed that Jesus forgave him. And Saint Zacchaeus of Jericho believed that Jesus honored him with his presence. And so, dear saints, when you think about your funeral, think about Zacchaeus. I'm serious about that. Because the greatest privilege of a Christian funeral is not about you and your accomplishments and who you are. That's important, and that's important to God. And it's not that it has to be excluded from your funeral, but the greatest privilege of a Christian funeral is that it is your final witness to Jesus, to the work of Jesus in your life. That Jesus came to seek and save you. You of all people came to seek and save you. I know when I have a funeral, and it might happen one day, I don't want the focus to be on my accomplishments. I don't want people to be trying to piece together evidence for my salvation or reasons why I might be in heaven. And I don't want them to only think about the memories that will only live in history. No, what I want people to remember me for is that Jesus even called a guy like him, Pastor Jonathan, by name. Jesus went to seek and save a guy like him. Can you believe that? A sinner like him? Jesus came and found him and saved him and even called him his own saint? That's what I want my funeral to be about. That Jesus knew my name. That he knows each of us by name. And he includes each of our names in his book of life. That Jesus goes even after the wee little ones and the unlikeliest in our world, and all the outcasts in our world, and even the least deserving, and those people that you think, oh, that's a long shot that they would end up there. That's who Jesus goes after. And he knows every single one of them by name. And he calls them by name into his kingdom, into his book of life. Friends, that's what we want to be mentioned at our funerals. That Pastor Jonathan, that insert your name here, got to play host to Jesus, the presence of Jesus in their life. That Jesus brought his presence into their life in their baptism. And that Jesus forgave even their sins. And Jesus even dines with you in his own supper. That's what you want to be remembered for. You know, whenever I do a funeral, I try to mention that I make funerals sad on purpose. And I also make them hopeful on purpose. That we should do both on purpose. And they're sad on purpose because, you know what? That person deserves us to be sad about them, because that person was somebody that God made, that person was important to God, that even if Zacchaeus could be important to Jesus, then so this person who we're coming and doing a funeral for, they deserve us to be sad about them. Because God made them. They deserve that. And death should not be. Death is the enemy. But we also have hope on purpose, because we believe the gospel and we believe the promises of Jesus. And if Jesus promised even them that they would be there, who are we to say, well, maybe? No! We have hope on purpose. And so as a church, as the people of God, we are called to be a community for the grieving. We are called to witness the presence of Jesus in each other's lives. We are called to be a beacon of hope for the life of the world to come, to constantly remind each other of the promise we have of the resurrection. And that's why we celebrate days like today, like All Saints Day. Because we don't forget those who have come before us. We remember them because Jesus remembers them. And so it's on days like today where we remember those who have gone before us that we make sure we cry. That we're sad on purpose. Because death is the enemy. And that person is somebody who God created and who Jesus died for. We cry because of sin that leads to death. We cry because of dreams and expectations that are left unfulfilled. But we don't just cry, we also wait. We wait not just for grief to get a little bit easier to bear. We wait not just because time makes things feel better, but we wait because we have something to wait for. We wait because we know that Jesus is present and His promises are big. And so we don't just cry, we don't just wait, but we also have hope. We have hope in the resurrection and the life of the world to come. We have hope not just in dying and going to heaven. That is a hope, but we have a hope even beyond that. That Jesus will come again and He will restore all things and He will make all things right and He will restore families and He will restore communities. That when we say goodbye to a loved one who has died, it's a see you later. Because we actually believe that. We've been promised that. That, dear friends, is what we as a church are called to do for one another. Why? Because Jesus seeks and saves the lost. And every single person with Jesus is only there. They are only there because they, too, were sought and saved. That includes Saint Zacchaeus of Jericho. And that includes all who have been baptized. And that includes all those who have died in the faith. And that, dear Christian, includes you. You are sought and saved. In Jesus' name, amen.